Okay. So this year is called First a Jew, Then a Philosopher. It's essentially about Lo Sasuru. I think it's a very important, fundamental shiur. The topic is, it's critical that you you think about it, you're aware of it before you you engage in it, you saw the sources. It's essentially, it's a really a Rambam shiur. And it's really because the, you know, I didn't put the, there's really one Gemara that I was able to come across. It's Gemara in Brachos, which basically has the brisa of Lo Sasurach Levavchem Zuminus, Vachanechem Zuznus, right? And that's basically it. And the Rambam is really the one who took up the mitzvah. He developed it, he fleshed it out, and he discusses it throughout his works, as we see in the Mishneh Torah, in the Perash Mishnayos, the Mor Nevuchim. Sefer Mitzvos everywhere. The Rambam really brought this area to light, and he developed the area. So, it's a Rambam shir, but mostly because that's the real sources in this area is the Rambam. Okay, so we'll start with the primary source is the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah. So it's Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis Halacha Gemel. Okay, so I'm going to start a couple lines in because that's when the halacha is really supposed to start. The Rambam's like this. Okay, so there's a bunch of sources here. Okay, so there'll be a decent amount of reading. Unfortunately, sometimes shir is that way. Okay, I'll try to break it up a little bit. But the Rambam is like this: Velo avodah zarah bilvad hu she'asur l'hafnas acharei machshava. So not only is it asur, the Rambam had just discussed the prior lachos al tifnu el alilim, and he shamar l'cha by kriya shema, that you're not allowed to go after avodah zarah in your thoughts and to. You're curious, you're going to investigate other religions and see maybe there's something there. Now, not just avodah zarah. Ela kol machshava shegoremes lo adam lakor ikra meikrei haTorah. Any thought, all right, any thought that causes a person to uproot one of the roots of the Torah, musharin anu shlo halos alibenu. So we're warned against entertaining it in our hearts. V'lo nasiach datenu l'kach, and we're not allowed to move our minds towards it. V'nachshuv, and think, v'nimshach achehurei lev, and to be drawn after the speculations of our heart. Why? B'bnei she'daito shel adam kitzara, person's mind is limited. It's limited. V'lo kol deos yichon l'hasig emes haborio. Not all minds are really capable of understanding the truth as it in its fullest sense. V'im yimshach kol adam achem hashav slibo, and if every person just is drawn after the thoughts of his heart, nimtza machavis olam lefikotzer daito. So because his mind is not really ready, so he's going to destroy the world. Okay? It's really, destroy the whole world there. Very bad. Ketzad. What do you mean? Pa'amim yitarach avodah zarah. Sometimes he's going to spy after, he's going to look after avodah zarah. Upam yachsho b'yichad abore, shemahu shemeino. So he's thinking, is God one? Maybe he's not. Is he a parts? I don't know. Malamala, malamata, malafnim, malachor. What's above the universe? What's below the universe? What's outside of it? Right? What's before the Big Bang? Afterwards? Right? Multiverse? All this stuff. Upamim b'nevuah shem yemes shemena. May prophecy, is nevuah real? Is it not real? Is such a thing? Upamim b'torah shem in mishamayim shemena. Is the Torah really divine? Was really given Har Sinai? I don't know. Yes, maybe. Ve'ni yodeh amidah shiyodim b'hem achi yedem saborio. And he doesn't really know how to think. He doesn't know the methods by which you determine these questions to get to really determine what it really is true, what isn't. V'nimtza yotze d'eminus, and you end up going out through this process. You end up becoming a min, a heretic. But Inyan says, here a Torah, and this is what the Torah warned a person about. V'nemar b'avlos asurach levavchem v'acharnechem asher atem zonim achareim. Right, read every day, twice a day. Kolomar. Lo yimshach kol echad mikem achar daito haketzara. Every person should not be drawn after his limited mind. V'yidmesh emachshavta maseges emes. And imagine that his thoughts really attain the truth. Kach amru chachamim. Achar levavchem zuminas. V'achar nechem zuznos. So after your hearts, that's minas, heresy. Things that are oker, the foundations of the Torah. And after your eyes, that's nos. And this love, even though it caused a person to lose his chelik olam haba, could really cause him to be doubtful about the ikari das, the yigin likaram. Person ends up saying he doesn't know the yigin likaram, he's not sure about them, no chelik olam haba, and it could really lead a person to that. Still, there's no malchus. Why is there no malchus? No punishment. by Beis Din because there's no Maisa, right? It's a Machshava. The Isser is essentially, it's an Isser of Machshava. It's thoughts. Okay, there's no Maisa associated with it. Even if you take up a book of a heretic and you read it, right, and you start reading these books, that's not the Isser. The Isser is the thought alone. The thought itself, thinking about these things in your mind, that's the Isser. As opposed to Altifna Elilim, right, which can be done through a Maisa, but Avodah Zarah, if you pick up a book of Avodah Zarah and you investigate it, that really get Malkus for. Right, if you investigate that through a Maisa. Okay, but that's not our point here. Okay, that's the primary Rambam. Okay, is there any questions on that Rambam? Yeah, go ahead.
Why is the pasuk say both Gozer and Nus?
Why is Nus? Yeah, that's a strange thing. I'm not sure I'm going to really take that up fully. You're going to see that that's Nus and Avodah and Minus. They're intertwined. They're basically intertwined throughout the sources. You'll see that they in the pasuk they're associated. The Rambam bring it down here. Say for Mitzvos you'll have it, and the Mor Nevuchim you'll have it. In the Perush Shnayis they keep coming back. There's a interrelationship between Minus and Znus. I'm not sure how much we're going to go into it. We will to some degree. They are interrelated. It's surprising. It's not what you would expect. And you'll see that they're causally, one causes the other. Each one causes the other one. Okay? Znus causes Minus and Minus causes Znus. Okay? So we'll develop that point. Maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a little strange that he calls it a macro world. It's just like a lot for you.
Right. How are you going to destroy the whole world? Okay, good. Good question. Good question. Yeah?
How do you find out the truth if you can't analyze
it? How do you find out the truth? Okay. Right. Well, you accept the truth. It's a Masoro. You accept it. Stop asking questions. Any other questions? Better ones. No, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, how do you find out the truth? And just to some degree, there's a circularity involved. I mean, let's say a guy he wants to know is God one, is God not, or is Torah Min HaShemayim. Is Torah Min HaShemayim, is it not? He's not sure. Is Torah Min HaShemayim, he doesn't know. I mean, what guy are we talking about? We're talking about a guy who knows Torah Min HaShemayim, so then why is he asking this question? And if he doesn't know, so then what do you tell him? He can't ask that question. Torah says you can't do it. I mean, why is he, he's like, you're asking him to accept that the fact that the Torah tells him, don't ask this question, but he's questioning the Torah. There's like, you know, there's an element of circularity involved in the whole thing, of he's relying on the Torah, on the whole Masorah, when the very questions get to the Ikarim of the Torah. It would seem to be, to avoid the circularity, you'd have to establish the Torah is true, and the foundations of the Torah are true, the Yesodos of the Torah are true, and then you can, and then you could have mitzvos after that. But to say that one of the mitzvos in the Torah is don't question the foundations of the Torah, you know, it sounds a little, it's a little circular. It sounds a little dogmatic. Be honest a little bit. It sounds a little dogmatic, you know. Well, the law, right, dog, all about dogma. You can look calm. He's the one who made them, right? Okay. Okay, good. Any other questions? No? Okay, fine. Let's do Sefer Mitzvos, and then we'll ask one more question, and then we'll... No, Sefer Mitzvos. We'll have a few more questions. Okay. So Sefer Mitzvos, it's Elosase Mem Zion. So I asked you to look at the Kafach edition. I like he has a turn of phrase. I hope I didn't drive you crazy looking for that one. I might have. But he's like this. He says like this. Hazhara shuz harno. There's a losase mem zayin. Milios chafshiyim b'mashavoseinu. Okay, that's the phrase. Nice translation. So it's it's the Isser for being free in our thoughts. Okay? So the Isser is really to be a free thinker. Okay? That's not Judaism. That's not the Rambam. Okay? So you're prohibited from being a free thinker. Ad shenazbor, until you end up to the point where you believe, you hold, hashkafos shehem neged hashkafos shuva b'Torah. So you hold by beliefs and opinions that are, or philosophies that are against the outlook of the Torah. Ela nagbils machshavoseinu, you have to put a boundary on your mind. V'nas elagvul, and make a boundary. Shetamot etzla, which you will stand by. And you don't trespass. You bound off. Okay? And there's different ways to interpret this. I'm going to take it in, at least in this way. The strictest interpretation would be that there's certain things that are off limits. Certain things you're not allowed to think about. V'hu mitzvah Torah v'azrosan. That is that you're not to be a free thinker. And you have to create a boundary that you do not go across, is a mitzvah in the Torah, and something the Torah warned about. V'om yisal lo sasirach avachem acharneichem. Right? Lashon Sifri. Right? This is the brisa that this is, right? This is essentially the Gemara in Brachos, and it's Sifri. Lo sasirach avachem zuminus. Right? Don't stray after your hearts. That's heresy. Kinin shenemer motzini marmi maves. Right? In Koheles. That's reference to that. And you see, it's talking about, I think it's the proof is from Lev. V'acharneichem zuznus. Shenemer v'yomashim shalonave v'chulu. And he's a beautiful woman, and it's eyes. That's you see as zuznus. But now he explains the by znus again. He develops znus in the Mishnah Torah. All he says is znus. He doesn't even explain anything. At no point does he really explain what it means, other than achalei nechem is znus. But here he gives you a little bit of explanation. He says hakavana barmem znus redifa satainugos is chasing after pleasures, vataivos, and your desires hagufanios, physical desires, vasaka samachshava ben tamid, and having your mind constantly thinking about them. Okay, so that would be achalei nechem. Again, the Rambam is formulated in terms of your thoughts. Okay, I'll point out, this is not really point of the Shir, but in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Dalet and Halacha Dalet, he has the things that are Ma'akev Tshuva, and he says there's a stakos barayos. Looking at a rayos, person thinks that's not really sin, I didn't do anything, I'm just looking, there's no hisser, and a person doesn't do Tshuva from that, and that would seem to imply that it's not just thinking, it's actually looking, and okay. But that's not the not the point here. Okay. So again, the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos, if we want to read it and interpret it this way, it seems right really prohibitive not to be a free thinker, right? Make a boundary for your mind, not to trespass any areas, and you don't want to destroy the world, you don't want to become a min, and aser, right? Very aser. Okay. Any questions or? Okay. So before I go to the Mora, which is going to create another problem, but yeah, just a question of, I mean, it's based on what we were saying before, that it sounds like dogma, it's circular, but I mean, is why can't every religion say something like this? You know, you have that problem, as if you're born a Christian, are you going to be a Christian? Because you're born a Jew, you should be a Jew, and because the Jew says, right? The Torah says you're a Jew, you're not allowed to think about these questions, you can't question the Torah, can't question God, all these things. You're not even allowed to think about them, they can't be, can't entertain the possibilities and really, try to determine it for yourself, but you have to just accept it from the Torah. So, you know, why can a Christian say the same thing? That's their dogma. And, it just doesn't seem like a rational approach to life. It seems like the Torah is shutting down your mind. You're not free to think what you want to think. It's not, right? In fact, it is. That's what it's saying, right? Okay. Right, which is true. That is what it's saying. Okay. So, you have to understand it, but it is saying that. Okay. So now So the problem is like this. There is a, it's not quite, we know from Torah that Torah doesn't quite say that, right? I mean, we'll see from the Rambam himself. That's a little bit too extreme if you just leave it at that. Okay. So the next source it's the Mor Nevuchim. It's a very famous mashal the Rambam has. It's the third part, chapter 51. Okay, so I'm going to be using Kafach. It's really only the first, it's a long chapter, first quarter of the chapter, and I'll do most of it outside, and just the part that I want to read, I'll tell you about. I'll read that inside. Okay, so basically the Rambam presents a mashal. Okay, the mashal is, the Rambam says that there's a king in his palace, and there's a courtyard around the palace, and he's in the country, and there's people in the country, in the countryside of the king, the country of the king. Some are facing away from the palace, some are facing towards the palace, some are moving in the direction, right, towards the courtyard, some actually reach the courtyard, but they're circling around, they can't find the entrance. And some actually are able to get into the courtyard, into the palace, get into the inner chambers, and, be with the king. And there's different levels of how close you get when you're in the palace. Okay, that's the general mashal. Then he says he's going to explain to you the mashal, okay? And he interprets the mashal on two levels. We're just going to deal with the first one here. And he says people who are have no religion whatsoever, no system of thought, just total Basically, the Rambam holds those people are basically is a type of person who's not really a human being. He basically he's never developed his mind, and essentially he's just an animal. He's living by his instincts and his taivas, and he doesn't have any type of system of thought. Okay, so those people are, I forget exactly where those guys are. Those might be outside the country or just wandering around. Then you have people who have the wrong philosophies and wrong beliefs, and those people are pointing their own way. The further they go, the further from God they get. God's the king, by the way. I don't want to, spoiler alert, all right? God's the king. And, okay. And now he's like this. This is the part that we're concerned about. He says, Ava haponim l'chatzar melech lehikane se'elav. So those who turn towards the king's courtyard in the direction of entering it, they just haven't gotten there to the courtyard. That's the regular Torah Jew. The regular Am Aretz who does mitzvos. He doesn't learn Torah, but he does mitzvos. It's a person his mashal is directed going the right direction, but he hasn't quite got there yet. Aval osim shegiu alachatzar shemakifin seviva. But those in the mashal who have reached the king's courtyard, but they're circling around it. They can't find the entrance. Those are the chachamim, the wise people, who believe the outlook, the philosophy of the true philosophy, true philosophical positions of the Torah, derech Kabbalah, because they've received it on authority from the Rebbeim, from the parents. Right? Ve'oskim b'dinim ma'isavodos, and they're involved in serving God based upon the received Kabbalah of how they were taught to worship God. Velohis amku be'ian v'yisodus adas, and they haven't really delved into investigating and on the foundations of the religion. Velochaku klal al bira mitas dea, and they haven't really investigated at all into clarifying the veracity of the knowledge that they've received. Right, simply they've accepted it. It's derech Kabbalah. They accept the truth because it's the Mesorah. Right, sounds like chachamim. Aval osam asher his asku be'ian and be'asodus adas, but those who are involved in really pursuing and understanding and looking into the foundations of the religion, kvar nichnasu la'prizdodim, they've entered into the inner chambers. Ubnei adam sham shanim amelasim b'safik, and people in the inner chambers, closer to the king, there's a variations of degree. Not everybody's the same. But somebody who's able to prove everything that he's capable of proving, and it's become clear to him anything in the area of metaphysics that it's possible to really become clear about, and certain things you can prove and demonstrate, but certain things you can't prove and demonstrate, but you can just get close to them. You can a lot of things in metaphysics are not really provable, but you can just you can approximate them what's close to what seems to be true and get as close as possible. Kvar nimtza im ha-melech b'soch ha-chatzer. He's with the king in the chatzer. He's in the inner chambers. This is the highest level. Okay. So it seems like this guy, the highest level guy, is over on Lo Sosiru. Right? What do you mean? He's looking into the foundations, the Yesodei Hadas, and he's trying to clarify, investigate to see how it's true. I mean, what are you talking about? The Rambam Mishneh Torah says that that's also right?
Would he be engaged more like in apologetics? Meaning like he knows what the conclusions are, and then he comes up with rationales for them.
Apologetics, like a dishonest investigation.
Yeah, if you were to accord both of them.
That's one shot. Okay, so you could say that. I'm going to say something similar, just with the take away the dishonest part. Okay? Okay. So yes, you could say that. It's close, though. It's close. The dishonest part gets you. Okay. Is one way to say it is, yeah, is just you know the conclusions, and now you just apologetics. I'm just going to investigate them and to make arguments to show that they're true. Whether they're good, whether they're not so good. But I mean, that's not the Rambam's. The Rambam's talking about proving things and really, showing things and seeing how they're true. And the Rambam has a word, emes, comes up a lot in the Rambam. True. So I don't think the Rambam, would be a fan of apologetics. right? Apologetics has the connotation of, you know it's true, and you're just, you know, using any kind of argument to justify something that you want to be true, okay? Okay, but I think something of what you're saying is good. Okay, something of what you're saying is good. Okay, so that's really the problem. Okay, that's really the problem. Okay, so I think there's, so let's take a look at, okay, so I want to develop what Zoldan's saying in a little bit of a better way. So I'm not sure, I have two little sources here. One is in the, okay, let me go first through the Mor Nevuchim, again, to develop the question. You see it again in the first Chelek, in chapter 33, in the bonus sources, okay? So he says like this. He says, again, in the middle of the chapter, it's right, the first part, chapter 33. It's not going to be in that one. Sorry. Okay. he says like this. He's explained to you, if you engage in metaphysics at too early a stage, you can harm yourself. He says, towards the middle of the chapter, he says like this, V'kasher megia adam l'shleimus, when a person has really arrived at perfection, v'nimsir lo sisrei Torah, and they've given over to him the secrets of the Torah, imi zulaso, either somebody else has given it to him, v'me'atzmo kasher yiru davar davar, or he himself has been awakened to it, inspired to it, by himself, he's realized he's connected the dots, so he's reached a level where he can really verify those true opinions, true beliefs, through like proper ways of verification. Again, either through proofs, what's able to be proven, strong arguments, where that's possible. And you realize not everything in Torah was meant to be taken literally. Right? A lot of things when you were young, you believe them on a certain face value. And you realize there's a lot of depth to Torah, and there's things that might seem strange in the beginning as you get, your mind awakens, and you realize when you use your mind that these things have to be taken in a non-literal sense. Okay, this is the Mishpah Shas we can get to in a second. He says that many times he said this over and over, that and it's only in chapter 33 in the first part, he's already said it many times, that you only give over to a person Maisa Merkava, metaphysics, if he's by himself and he's a Chacham, he's wise, and he understands on his own. Osmos and Rashi Prakam. Then you just give him the chapter headings, the beginnings. And therefore, it's inappropriate to open up for a person in this area. According to only if he's like really capable of understanding these areas, and with these two conditions. First, he has to be intelligent, a chacham, which means that means he already has the prerequisite sciences, prerequisite areas of knowledge. Vashish, Maven, he's an understanding person. Batfisas Tivayim Zakin Tofes Inyan Bremes Kal. Vunyamra Maven Medaito. He has to be able to understand, he has to be able to use his mind, know to think properly. So he has to have the prerequisite knowledge in certain areas, and he has to know how to think properly. Okay? And the Pirush Hashanayos, I'm not going to read it right now, maybe at the end. At the very end, we'll come back to Pirush Hashanayos. It says something similar. Okay? So I think the first step is like this, is how to resolve the method of the Rambam, okay? Is he saying that you're not allowed to be a free thinker, you're not allowed to investigate things, right? So I think it's, to a degree, he is saying that you're not really allowed to be a free thinker, okay? And we're going to develop that. But how do you explain the Mor Nevuchim, is you say that the first step you have to make here is that a person has to realize their own limitations. Okay, if there is limitations in your mind. And when you're younger, you accept these things, you accept the Yesodei of the Torah, the foundation of the Torah, based upon Kabbalah, based upon authority. This is what you were raised in, this is what you're taught to believe. And there's no other way for a kid to enter into this world and to have any kind of knowledge if he doesn't accept it from his parents and from his teachers, that's how you have knowledge. But as you get older, your mind develops. You get more knowledge. You learn how to think properly. And you recognize how far your mind can go. And you investigate these things because you know that they're true. You know they're true for the Masorah. You accept the Masorah. But you want to see how they're true. Right? How do you see the true firsthand? You want to investigate it firsthand. Okay? So it's... And the person who doesn't just accept it based on Kabbalah, but he investigates and says, I want to know further. I want to understand these ideas. I want to understand the Asodiyah Das. See how it's true and prove how it's true. And things that I can't prove, at least see why the arguments are stronger in that direction, even if I can't prove it. So that person ultimately gets to a higher level of knowledge because he understands them. He understands the essence of the matter. He isn't just... You get a much deeper understanding of an idea when you investigate it and you prove it and you see the arguments for and against it, and you can really see why it's a stronger argument. That really is what perfects the person and brings them to a higher level. Okay, but it's done within the framework of, I know these things to be true because I have a Masorah on them, and I'm investigating them in order to raise myself to a higher level of knowledge. Okay. The one thing I'm saying a little different from what Michael is saying is that it's an honest investigation. There's no such thing, I don't believe it's possible for a person to investigate something where if you already say, I know the conclusion, and I'm only going to be looking at it from a biased point of view. Okay, if you say that you're looking at it from a biased point of view, that's not an investigation. Investigation has to be honest. Okay, but the background framework, the background in which you're investigating it is with, I have a source of knowledge of the Masorah where it's true. Okay, now I'm going to be investigating it. Should you come out to, should you come out to prove that it's not true, Torah is not min hashamayim, God's not one, you prove it, then of course you proved it, right? We'll take up if you haven't proven it in a second. But it's an honest investigation. But you're not coming to it in the framework that you're going to be the one to determine whether it's true or not. You're coming to it from the framework of, I want to increase my knowledge. I have a Masorah, I have a Kabbalah that something is true, and I want to understand why it's true. Okay. Now it is critical that before you do that, you know how to think properly, and you know the area, you're capable of thinking and investigating, and you've developed your mind to a certain point where you are capable of doing a genuine investigation. A person who doesn't know how to think properly, doesn't know how to investigate, doesn't know how to use arguments, and doesn't know how to interpret an area, so then it could be a disaster. You're going to arrive at false conclusions. You could really hurt your mind, destroy yourself. Okay, so it's very important that the person, when he does do this, he engages in it with, in order to, again, with the framework that I have in Masorah, and I want to understand this truth because that brings me to a higher level. But you have to be willing to have a boundary, not just an objective boundary. Another way to learn Sefer Mitzvot. Like, I think the idea of the boundary, it's very reminiscent of Har Sinai, right? Where you made a gvul around the mountain, right? And if people weren't allowed to go, Pen Yifretz Baal Hashem, that the Rambam uses that pasuk, we'll see, is that you can't just, right? Every person has to know their limitations. But you see in Har Sinai, not every person had the same limitations. The Hamonam had one boundary. Right, the Kohanim had a different boundary. The Zakenim had a different boundary, and Moshe had his own boundary. Right, and Aaron and Nadav and Avihu had their own boundary. Right, so there's different levels. You have to know your own boundary. So part of knowing the boundary is the objective boundary for mankind. That the human mind is intrinsically limited. That's chapter 31 in the first Chelek. It talks about that. And then there's knowing your own personal subjective boundaries based upon how good your mind is, and how much knowledge you have. But if you're investigating with the prerequisite knowledge and the ability to think properly, then the investigation is a good thing because you're going to be led to the truth and understanding the Yesodi Hadas. You had a question, Ezra?
I was just going to ask what you meant by knowing how far your mind can go.
Right.
You meant like the general sense, like what type of metaphysical aspects are precluded from mind.
Right. Right, that's what I'm saying, both areas. Right, there's the objective boundaries, right? The objective boundaries, just you get the certain things that are simply outside of the human ability to know, right? right? I mean, I'm not sure if this.
Stars there are, whether it's odd or even.
Yeah, right, exactly. That you know is impossible.
Right.
Right, exactly. Certain things like that. And it's you know, even it's, that sounds like a trivial question, but even important questions that you would like to know, just simply we can't determine, right? Simply can't determine beyond the human mind's ability to know. And certainly given the knowledge of, you're limited by the science of your times, you can't go beyond the science of your times, right? I mean, you could try, but only a little further. Okay. He reiterates this in the Parashas Shneis. I'm just going to read I want to read this twice. I can come back to it at the end, but it's going to be part of it. So the Mishnah is referring to, it says, Lo b'merkava b'yachad. You can't do ma'aseh b'reishis, scientific matters, with two people. You know, I'll teach it with two people, just individually. And b'merkava, you can't even teach metaphysics. You can't even teach to an individual alone. Elim kein ha'yachachom mevim midaito. Right? Unless he had those two things. He's a person with a prerequisite knowledge, and he understands. And ever looks at four things, it's appropriate that he never came into this world, which is malamala malamata mafnim malachor. Those were four questions he brought down in Los Asiru, right, in the Avodah Zarah, is what's above and below the universe and right before him and after. Whoever doesn't have compassion on the honor of his creator, it's better for him not to have been born. Okay, so I don't want to get into that last part, just this part to emphasize it. He's like this. He says, in person, Maisa Bracious is science, right, science. And Maisa Merkava is metaphysics. And he says, what are the area of metaphysics? So it includes Klaus Hamatzias, like existence as a whole. Valmatzias Abori, God's existence. Vedaito, God's knowledge. Veteorov, and his attributes, right, his actions, where we describe God. The Chiyun and Samim Menu, things that he causes to exist. V'hamalachim and angels. V'hanefesh and the soul. V'asecha, davak ba'adam. I think that means the active intellect or something. V'mash achari amavas. And things that, what happens to the soul after a person dies. Okay, those are areas of metaphysics. Things that are above the physical universe. V'machmas chashiva shnei madayim alalu hativi. Because of the importance of these two areas of knowledge, and it's appropriate that they're, and the Rambam's saying, they're justly significant. The Torah asr teaching them like every other area. Okay. And it's known that every person by his nature, he desires, strongly as a desire, for all these knowledges. You have a basic fundamental curiosity, whether he's an idiot or whether he's intelligent. Okay? Either way, a person has the curiosity, he wants to know these things. Okay. And it's impossible for a person not to think about these things on a superficial level, because you want to know about them and your mind thinks about them. Right? You're just going to think what's before the universe, what's above the universe, what happens afterwards. You're going to think about them. And you don't really know any better. And you're going to set your mind to dominate over them, right? You're gonna let your mind run free in them without having the proper prerequisite knowledge. And there's knowledge has rungs. It's like rungs on a ladder. You can't skip steps. And because of that, the Torah warned about that, and it stopped that, or the Mishnah, right, stopped the person from doing that. Okay, because going to these areas without having the proper knowledge, knowing the limitations, can really be, we can develop in a second, machar v'solam, and destroy the person. Okay, that is, yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking with the mashal, like, maybe when you're entering the palace, if you don't already accept the king and you're entering the palace, you can get into big trouble.
Yeah, right, you gotta be mekamel chol shamayim before you do that. That's true. That's why you're going there. You know it's a king's palace.
If you don't know it's a king's palace,
he might not appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Just if a person at his like proper level of chachma is investigating, and he has like he's genuinely doing it, let's say.
Right.
And he comes to a conclusion, meaning like he comes to a false conclusion. His conclusion is like some type of fear. Is that the Isra the Rambam is talking about, or is the Rambam saying that it's the person that's not doing a genuine investigation that's a problem? Meaning, a person that's genuine and says, like, look, I'm limited in Chachma, right now that makes the most sense to me, but I'm an Anuv, and I say, okay, it's a Kfira, so I avoid it, but that makes the most sense to me right now. I have to be honest as to what I think.
Right.
Is that the Isra the Rambam is talking about?
Okay, good. So let me take up that question now. Okay, so that's the last major source. And that's, that's excellent. So that's the, there's a very interesting Rambam. It's in the second Chelek. It's chapter 23. Okay? Chapter 23 in the second Chelek. Okay, and he deals with this. So the context of this is the question that the Rambam deals with the entire second Chelek, is whether the universe is created, has a beginning, or whether the universe is eternal. It's always existed. Okay, that's Chiddush Olam, that's created into, as a point of beginning. And Kadmus is the universe has no beginning. Okay? Okay, so again, this is the last major source. Okay, and then we're going to have a little discussion outside. Okay. So like this. So the Rambam now is going to tell you, and this is exactly addressing Michael's question here, is the Rambam is going to tell you, he's going to tell you a method, okay, the method of evaluating an issue where you can't prove one side or the other. Okay, and that's, I think, Michael's question. If you can prove one side or the other, then there's no problem. So the person who decides, I have a Kabbalah, I have a Mesorah of the Torah and the fundamentals of the truth, of the religion, and I want to go investigate them to see that they're true. And he proves that they're true. Wonderful. He's entered the Chatzar Melech. Okay, and if he proves that they're not true, okay, then, okay, what are you going to do? You're in the wrong religion, right? It's not true. Okay, if you can really prove something is not true, then that's to say, that's an honest investigator. If a person proves that he knows with certainty that something is not true, you can't deny your mind because you know something is false. Okay. But let's say, and there are a lot of areas, and most areas that are really fundamental and foundational, you cannot prove them, really one way or the other. And the more fundamental they are, and the more abstract they are, and those two go together, then the less you're capable of really having proof in a true sense. So now you have to do this process of shekel, of weighing things, evaluating them. Like this. So comparing the doubts or the problems that are associated with one position, and between the doubts and the problems that are associated with the other position, you're comparing two positions, and weighing in your mind which has the lesser problems. You can't just count up how many problems one position has. Okay? But you have to, it's a qualitative evaluation, is how difficult the problem, how strange it is, how problematic it is, the qualitative nature of the problem, and how against reality it is. It could be that one problem is against 1,000 problems, or it weighs more than 1,000 different problems. Ve'od. So that's the first point, right? Yeah, go ahead.
How do you assess? What's the assessment process? Like, what is the assay? Isn't it that you just come into the game with certain axioms that you have, and now you kind of just figure out which one of those violates those axioms? That's an a priori thing.
I don't know, what are you asking?
You mean like, what do you mean that one?
How do you figure out which one is more than the other?
How do you weigh them?
What are we talking about?
You think there's 1,000...
You have two positions. You have two positions, okay? Chati nezek mamon, chati nezek knas. Okay? So you have to evaluate which one's right, which one's wrong. So you have problems. Each one has a problem, right? There's different sizes, I figured we'll talk about later on tonight, right? So you have different problems. You have to weigh them. So how do you decide which one is true? How does a person decide? You evaluate in your mind, right? When there's different problems associated with each side. And then you have to weigh which side has bigger problems. Right? You can't prove one side or the other, but you do a shekel. You do a weighing. Which side seems more like it's true or not? To answer the question? Okay, good. Okay. Okay, just because one side has 1,000 problems, but they're small problems. One side could have a major problem that knocks it out. Or close to it, right? Okay. V'od lo yiskayim hekesh hazeh. Okay. Okay. V'od lo yiskayim hekesh hazeh l'misha kol echa mishnei ketzavos enegdiyem etz lo shavim. And you can only do this process of evaluating two positions, okay? And, right, whether the world is created or whether the world is eternal. Okay, and that's a yesod in the dust. We'll see what I'm talking about. Whether the universe is created or not is, if you hold the universe is eternal, the whole Torah falls away, right? It's ochre the entire Torah, okay? So a person can only really evaluate between these two positions, okay? If you're looking at them equally, you're giving them both equal weight, okay? It's an honest evaluation. But somebody who favors, he's biased towards one of these positions. Whether he's been raised that way, or whether he had derived some benefit from some position, right? Sometimes you find politicians in these questions. There's questions, is abortion should be right, should it be wrong? You'll find that very often a person's running for the Republican Party. He sees all the arguments, abortion should be wrong. Person running for the Democratic Party, free choice, every woman should choose. Abortion is not murder, no problem, right? So you see very often when a person benefits, their career benefits, they have monetary benefit, some benefit, then they are no longer able to really weigh an issue, right? An issue that can't be proven. Okay. So if you have a bias, then you're blinded to the truth. It's impossible for you to really evaluate it honestly. So something that you can really prove, mathematical proof. I don't care if you have some bias. You don't like Pythagorean theorem, okay? You don't like equals mc squared. You don't like these types of things. It doesn't really make a difference because we can prove it. And a guy who's biased against atomic bombs, he still can't really argue on equals mc squared, okay? Because you can prove it. You can really show it. But something that doesn't really have proof, you can really argue with that. Okay, and again, it's important to realize, right? Important to realize there's no algorithm. There's no algorithm you can just apply of count up. If you could just do some sort of, by algorithm I mean some sort of just method of where you don't have to really understand the ideas in a qualitative nature, but some sort of quantitative procedure to determine these fakos. If you could just do that, then it wouldn't really matter. It wouldn't make a difference if you're biased or not, because just apply the procedure. And you can determine it, but there is no simple procedure because you have 1,000 svekos, 1,000 problems are outweighed by one. So you have to be able to weigh these in your mind, and they have to be qualitative. And the only thing you can use is your intuition. And once you have an emotion and you're biased, so then your whole intuition is garbage, is ruined, and you can't do the whole thing. Okay? And this is most areas that are fundamental, that are abstract, that are metaphysics, that are foundations of Torah are going to come under this category. Because there's not really proofs in these areas. These areas are not mathematics, not physics. Okay, but now he's going to tell you there's some hope. Aval efshidcha im tirtza lis arto menesh ifos v'tazo v'sehergel v'tishan alina mochla. But it is possible for you, if you want, to free yourself from any prejudices and biases, and leave the way you were raised, and to say that like, I'm used to, accustomed to a certain viewpoint, and look at something entirely honestly, ian mochla, just purely philosophically an honest thinker. And you can weigh, and you can evaluate what's really true. You need a few conditions. Okay? Here are the conditions. So first you have to know how smart you are. Okay? How intelligent you are? How good a mind do you have? Are you really able to, do you have the kalim, do you have the tools to really think through these areas? Not every person is that smart. And you're going to find it out, but when you study math, you study logic, when you study Gemara, you're going to find out just how smart you are, just how well you can think. Okay? If you can't really learn through a blot of Gemara, you're not going to be able to learn through these areas of metaphysics. You're not going to really be able to make the shikl. If you can't evaluate two svaras, right? You can't evaluate you're saying a svara and your chavrusa is saying a svara, and you're not capable of really determining which is a better svara, especially if always it comes out to be yours, okay? So then, and that's it, you don't have, and you learn for 5 years, and you just don't have that ability. So that's it, you don't know how to think properly, because your mind is not able to. So that's it, you got to realize your boundary is, you can't go on that mountain, okay? You can't go on there, you have to know where your boundary is. So that's the first condition, you have to know that you really know how to think properly. Okay. Again, that's the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrael Torah. Is first you fill up your belly with lechem u'basar, and then you go in Tayel and Paradis, right? First you learn the Gemara, Havayos Habayav Rava. You train your mind, you learn how to think, you learn how to evaluate. Gemara really is the preparatory study for metaphysics because, like I said, most areas of metaphysics partake of this problem. The Rambam says that earlier in the Mora. And you, in order to know how to think through and the methods of investigation and thinking and weighing these areas, that's where the Gemara really trains you to think, trains you to do. Okay. Second, Vasheni, second condition. Yedias Madaya Teva Kafia Mitasan. You have to know the area, the science, a lot of these areas, especially metaphysics, they rest upon scientific knowledge. Okay, so you have to know science. If you don't know science, okay, you don't know a certain some things, you have to know methods of history, you have to know history, you have to know science. Before, besides for, of course, math, if you can't read math, do math, you finished also in these things. Okay, you have to be able to know the area properly. Kadesha Tedas as Fekos, both in Yesodi, so that you can understand the area in a fundamental way. Okay, you can't just have a superficial knowledge of an area, and now you're going to start weighing which side is right or not. You know, I read a couple books on physics, and now, you know, it seems to me the universe is eternal. You can't do that, okay? You can't do that. You have to be able to understand, when you're standing problems and you're weighing problems, you have to understand them at their root. You have to understand the fundamental issues of a sugya. If you don't know that, if you don't know how to determine what's a fundamental issue, what's a side issue, understand the area properly, then you're not in a position to start evaluating whether this position is right or that position is right. Okay, so besides for knowing how to think in general, you got to know the area you're investigating. Okay, don't read a couple books and develop and tell opinions in weighing it. Yeah, go ahead.
So the first guy is the dogmatic guy.
The first guy is the idiot.
Yeah, but I'm saying that guy's the guy who shouldn't go into these areas because he shouldn't go into these areas.
He just doesn't know how to think. Guy doesn't know how to think. He doesn't know how to think.
So he should just believe because he...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He should accept the Masorah.
Right, and he doesn't have
right.
the freedom to go
into these areas.
He's got a history of going through those areas.
Right, because he's not capable of coming out. He's not capable of investigating these areas.
He's not capable of coming out with what? With conclusions that are desired?
Any conclusions. Any true conclusion. He doesn't know how to think. A guy doesn't know how to think. He goes into an area.
You may not know how to think with the desired results.
No. You could.
Unless he's a brain dead person, he thinks. So he thinks
No, you might not know how to think properly. If you don't know how to think properly.
Think properly.
Do you mean logical?
Do you
not understand
yes.
E equals MC squared?
This guy obviously has a belief system. Right?
No, you can, I'm not. Everybody's got a belief system. Everybody's got a belief system, but not everybody knows. I don't know. Does he understand the difference between an essential problem and a side problem? Right? Right? That's an important distinction. A tayufta and a kushya. You know, you heard that distinction between a tayufta and a kushya?
Okay.
You've heard that? You heard that distinction? Right, not everybody's heard that distinction, right? So that's critical. If you think that 100 problems is that's so much worse than one problem, you don't have to think.
So are these people fundamentally precluded? Or they just need
fundamentally
to
learn, precluded.
They need to learn logical.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Some people just don't have the mind. A lot of people in this world, unfortunately, simply don't have the ability to really develop the mind to learn a lot of Gemara on the deepest level and with really knowing how to think properly, okay? But there are plenty of people who could, but they haven't been trained to. So you have to have the natural ability, and you actually have to be trained in learning how to think. Okay, and you could do it. Doesn't have to be just through Gemara. Like I said in chapter 51 and in part 3, the Rambam has two ways to interpret the analogy. And over here he even mentions it. It can be math and logic, philosophy. You could train your mind through, you know, Gemara is the best. That's why we learn it so much. It really is the study teaching how to think. The world does not have anything... any training program in thinking comparable to what the yeshiva does in terms of teaching how to think. Okay, and they, it's, you know. In the Mora he has, those chachamim he's referring to as the people learn Gemara. And then chapter 51. Yeah, right, correct. The parallel of them in the second interpretation he gives is people learn mathematics and logic. So it's that's the prerequisite knowledge. That's what it means, the prerequisite knowledge. No, right. Correct. If you're learning and knowing Lingam Gemara, it's great, but you still haven't gotten, you know, there's still further. It's a prerequisite. It's training the mind, but it's the first step in going further. But you got to, right, like you can, this person has got to take that first step. Okay. The second thing, after you know how to evaluate areas, right, how to think properly, is you have to know the area itself. Okay. The third thing, Vashlishi Midosecha. Okay, is your midos, okay, your morals, ethics. Shekolzman shadam motzias atzmo. Ve'ein hevdal etzlenim yezeh b'tevo b'chinuch. Anytime a person finds himself, whether it's because he's naturally this way or he's been raised this way, note klapi ataiva ve'atanugos. He's drawn after pleasures and desires. O madif eser exonas v'kas v'afolas ekoch erexoni v'shichur asano. And he just can't control his temper. He gets angry. He's not able to control himself. So he's always going to make mistakes and stumble wherever he goes, any direction he goes. Neshu Yachbish Hashkafos Asheyusei Ehu Lema Shetivo Noteilav. Because he's going to be seeking after positions that he's that his nature is drawn to. Okay, so if you find, like, I mean, the Rambam's telling you the method for overcoming your biases and evaluating a suffix properly. And one of those things is the ability to overcome your emotions. A person who can't control his emotions. Okay, so first of all, a lot of things in these areas are related to your emotions, right? So the person's question is Torah Mishnah Maimer, is it not? Well, you know, I really want to have that cheeseburger, and now I'm going to start thinking, you know, maybe Torah's not Mishnah Maimer. I don't know. You know, do I really want to, you know, I want a little ice cream. I just had the cheeseburger. I don't really want to wait 6 hours. Torah's definitely not. It's not Mishnah Maimer. Okay? So, you know, that's one interpretation. Just your taivos are going to get in the way. A lot of times, these questions involve your biases. Okay. Second of all, if you can't control your emotions in an area of where you get angry, you can't control your basic instincts and pleasures and things like that, and you know, you can't stop yourself from having a second piece of cake or something, so then you're not capable of overcoming your emotions. And that's normal. That's, everybody goes through that. You have to develop that ability. And if you know yourself that you don't have that ability across the board to control your emotions, when you know it's not best for you to do something, you know it's not best for you to get angry, but you get angry, you get emotional, you get worked up, and you say things you shouldn't really have said, or you have a desire and you know it's best for you not to do it, but you can't really control yourself and you do it anyway, so you're not really capable of overcoming your emotions. So then if you have an emotion in this area, so then that's it. You're not going to be able to rise above that because you can't control your emotion. Okay? But if you do have these three qualities, you know how to think properly, you know the area on a fundamental level, and you have the ability to control your emotions, then you can engage in this process of shekel, this process of valuing the two sides and seeing which one makes more sense is more mustad. Okay. Now this is the middle part I'm going to read. I'll go further, but this. It's an amazing part of the Rambam. Okay, listen to this. He says, Ki efsher shiyitecha, okay, so orisecha alzeh kedei shelo teruma. So why have I pointed this out to you? So you don't become tricked. You're not deceived. Ki efsher shiyitecha mishu, because it's possible that somebody, whoever it is, ipam, at some point is going to trick you. He's gonna tell you a problem, a question about Chiddush Olam, about creation. That's the topic that Ram's talking about. But Timar this process, you're gonna be very quickly seduced and tricked by him. He say, this problem, here's this problem, point it out to you. Or you're not really gonna know any better, and he's gonna point it out to you. Kieshkafazu, Yeshbaharisis Yesura Torah Visparchis Klapi Hashem. So this position of eternity universe, Kadmas Olam, it is a breakdown of the foundations of the Torah, and it's cause you to say inappropriate ideas about God. V'lachin, and therefore, because this is Yesod HaYadas, it's the foundation of the Torah, Tiyat Tamid Choshet Esich L'Chabo. You should constantly, in this area, you should suspect your mind. It's an amazing thing that Rambam wrote this. And this is the Rambam. If it was somebody else, whatever. I don't know, as far as I know, the Rambam, this is the only time the Rambam tells you. Your mind, you think that this, you know, you see this problem, you are nota towards, you've done your investigation, you think you've done this investigation, and now this guy has this question for you, and it seems to you that the eternal universe is right, the Sodei Torah aren't really true, and you're leaning that way, you should suspect your mind. V'somech ashnei neviim, and rely on the two neviim, Moshe and Avraham, asher heim amo tikinos mitzias hamin anushi, which are the pillars for founding the existence of man, human beings, b'deosav, in their opinions, their positions, umakilosav, and their social gatherings, so the foundations of our belief system as a society to live harmonious with each other, and our philosophical beliefs come from Avraham and Moshe. Those are the two ultimate sources. Ve'altat me'ashkafa chedesh olam ki'im be'hochacha. And you should not deviate from the position of the creation of the world, or Yesod HaDas, the foundation of the Torah, unless you have proof. Vizu enamitsuyu b'teva, and that's what the Rambam spent 22 chapters at this point showing you, that there is no proof that the world is eternal. Okay, you cannot prove the world is eternal. And in fact, we know now that the world is created with the Big Bang. Okay, so it's good the Rambam held you can't prove that. Okay? Okay. Amazing Rambam. Okay? And this, I think, is a critical point here, is when you're going into this area, okay, you're not allowed to go into the area of the Yesod HaDas and investigate them where you're going to determine whether they're true or not. Okay? Because we're not free thinkers. Just like we're not free to eat whatever we want to do. Okay? We can't eat anything, we can't say anything we want to say. There's mitzvos and there's alos aseh, there's isurim. You're not free to think whatever you want to think. Okay. You might not like that, right? A person wants to be in control of their own life. You want to be able to do whatever you want to do. You don't like anybody telling you what you can't do, and you don't want somebody telling you can't think what you want to think, but there's restrictions in your thought. Okay. So if you want to investigate the Asodia Dust, it has to be in a certain framework. Okay. You have a Mesora, you have a Kabbalah that you accept. You're going to investigate it. You want to be raised to the highest level of perfection. Okay. If you can prove it's true, you're raised to the highest level. If you prove it's false, you reject it. But very often, okay, most cases, you're not going to get that. You're going to get into this area where you're dealing with weighing two different positions. Okay, and when you're weighing two different positions, the method is it's of dubious quality. Okay, whether you're really capable of evaluating it. Because you have to know how to really think properly, you have to know the area fundamentally, and you have to be a person who's able to rise above your emotions. Okay? And the nature of the area is such that you're weighing different possibilities one against the other. And if you end up saying, I lean towards one way, I don't know, I'm 60-40 one way, I'm 30-70 the other way, it seems to me like, you know, I don't know, it seems to me this side makes more sense to me. That is not good enough to overturn the Yesod in the Torah. You cannot undermine the Yesod in the Adas by saying, doing the shekel, and I evaluated in my mind, and it's come out to me that it seems to me this Yisrael in the dust that God is not one anymore, or Torah is not Shemayim, or whatever it is, that the world is eternal, whatever it is, anything that undermines the Torah of Meikara, you are not free to be the one to determine it. You don't have that right to say, my mind tells me that this seems to me to make more sense. If you get to that position, okay, now you can do that to see why these are. The Rambam wrote 20, the Mor Nevuchim, the whole second Chelek, or the first half of it, is dedicated to showing why it's more Mistaver, right? Showing that it's a more reasonable position that the world is created. You can do that. But you have to have, the framework has to be that if you arrive that it's more Mistaver to you the other way, you say, I rely on the Mesora. Because the Mesora is a more secure form of knowledge than you weighing out your shekel, where you're weighing out these two positions in your mind. Okay, that has to be the fallback. If you can prove something, right? That's why we're not Christian. Why are we not a Christian? Okay, why does this not lock you into Christianity? Because if you can prove that God doesn't have a body, that's not something that you have to weigh with your mind. There aren't two possibilities that it's more mistaver, God's not physical. That is something you can show that that doesn't make sense for God to be physical, to have a body. He's not a human being. Okay, even the Christians, they don't say that it logically makes sense. They just say you have to believe these things. But you can show with your mind that's not possible, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so if a person in any religion, you have the right to investigate and you have the obligation, if you're capable, when you arrive at the limitations of your own mind, when you're capable, you have the obligation to really go further and to study the prerequisite areas, study the science that you really should study, if you're able to, if your mind tolerates it, and you know how to, you're capable of doing it, and you should investigate and you should see it, and you should try to prove it to yourself. Okay, and you should see why it's more mistaver that in areas that don't have proof, you should see why it's more mistaver that the Sodia Torah are true. But if you arrive at a thing where I don't really know, and I see both sides, and there's two possibilities, and you know, I don't know, there's some, this story is possible, one story, and this is another possibility, and you start weighing it in your mind, that process is not good enough to overturn the Sodia Das. Yes?
I think it's interesting that the Rama, he doesn't say, don't come to that conclusion that the universe is eternal. He says, if your mind takes you that way because someone raises a good objection, then simply redirect your mind to come to a level of demonstrative proof.
No. He's saying, if you can prove it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But he's saying, if you can't prove it, and he's telling you, you went through it, the area, in his time, you couldn't prove it. Okay, our time, you could prove it the good way, the right. Creation, but... people argue with that also. Okay, I shouldn't say proof. Can't prove anything anymore. Okay, you used to be able to prove it. You know, nowadays they don't buy anything. But no, he's saying if you could prove it, that's fine. If you could prove that the Torah is not true, then you've proven it. There's nothing. Nobody else is saying you're not locked into a religion that's false. But if you can't prove it, now you're just weighing two different possibilities. Right. That's not good enough.
But that's why he directs you to get the demonstrative proof.
Yeah, but some engineers don't lend themselves to it.
But
yeah.
I like his approach with science and math, because a lot of the mathematics is start off with assumptions and then you go from there.
Right.
Or in science or whatever it is, so it's good. I like the Rambam's approach of like You have to know math and science because a lot of the systematic thoughts and logic are built in mathematics.
But you see how to think.
Yeah.
Correct. And a lot of these questions, the fundamentals of Torah rely on science. They rely on your scientific knowledge. And if you don't know science, you're not going to be able to evaluate it. You have to understand science on a deep fundamental level to really be a bar hachi of evaluating these areas. Yeah.
Let me start off and say that it's not math. Like, this is not, metaphysics is not mathematical.
Right, you can't prove things that way. Right.
You can't prove things.
Most things you cannot prove.
So, aren't some arguments more compelling than other arguments?
Yes.
Yes. Point.
Exactly. Some arguments are more compelling than others.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be absolute. I don't understand that. Either it's dogma, and I can't base my belief based on the more compelling argument. Or I could say, no, it's not math. There's going to be a set of arguments, but some are going to be more compelling than others.
Right,
so you go based on the more compelling one.
You're going to... That's what you would do in an area if you didn't have a Masorah and it wasn't a Yesod in the Das.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's all you have.
But now we do have that.
Now you do have that, and this is Yesod in the Das. And you have to realize that you weighing what's the more compelling argument is not a very strong method of determining the truth. And the Masorah, you can't overturn the Torah. Because this side, this argument is more compelling to me.
So what do you mean by weighing it? If it's not mathematical, you're not going by what's compelling or not.
You have to use something that's karav levada. Look, it doesn't have to be a mathematical proof. Hochacha. What does demonstration mean?
No. Like,
that's what you learn Gemara for.
Don't make a decision based on
what we're saying that the Torah is that other people have already weighed the different sides.
Well.
Mesorah says this because they've already weighed the compelling sides and you're relying on.
No, I mean the Mesorah is from Avram and Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Mesorah is from. They're Nevi'im.
I'm saying you're still relying on them.
You're relying on them. Oh, yeah, but they're prophets. They're Nevi'im.
That's like a
cheat.
God told
them. We have a Mesorah that comes from Sinai, that comes from Avram, the great philosopher of the Navi. Okay, and that source of knowledge of the Mesorah is a stronger source of knowledge than your weighing out different arguments.
Well, things like the Big Bang or something. Like
what?
Like something like the Big Bang. They didn't know about the Big Bang in terms of scientific. They had the ideas of Tova Bola.
They read the idea the world was created from nothing.
Right. But in terms of like let's say...
No, how do you prove that? But they couldn't prove they didn't have the background radiation to show that.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. So then when you say that if for some reason you're more compelled to believe in
eternity
universe. View of a constant cycle of Big Bang, not Big Bang, Big Bang, not Big Bang.
Right. Let's say you think that makes more sense. An oscillating universe, it makes more sense. You see the argument, this thing decides it is more compelling. Look, if it's, for example, I may explain answer this question a little bit more directly. I'm saying, like, you can show creation because of the Big Bang. Now, do these multiverse scientists say that, the Big Bang, there was a before, there's a million Big Bangs and internal inflating Swiss cheese? Yes, they say all this stuff. But there's very, very strong, compelling arguments and evidence for the universe has a beginning. Okay? So that's good enough. Okay? That's good enough. Okay? But that's different than look, how do I understand quantum mechanics? Okay? Is it the Copenhagen interpretation? Is it the many worlds interpretation? Is it the forward time wave and the backwards time wave? Right, there's different the bomb model. Right, there's a lot of different ways to interpret quantum mechanics. You know, it seems to me it makes the most sense is the many worlds interpretation. That's my mistaber to me. That's not good enough. That kind of thinking is not good enough because you see problems with everything and you're trying to weigh which side makes more sense. This side has problems. This side has problems. In certain areas, that's all you have. But that kind of an area, you don't really have genuine knowledge. You just have different problems you see on different sides. There's speculations on either side. It's not compelling evidence. It's just arguments on either side. And even if you're weighing and it seems more likely to you, you're 70-30, the many worlds interpretation, that's not good enough because that doesn't really have that much weight. It's not really a wonderful method. Sometimes in metaphysics, that's all you have, but it's not a wonderful method. And if you arrive at a conclusion from there, it's not really a good conclusion. It's not that strong. And you cannot overturn the Mesorah based upon that. Okay?
Are you saying that's like a... principle,
or like
it's a logical
one. I mean, if you don't have a Mesorah to rely on, how are you going to...
I mean, like, in other words, like, that's the halacha, but, like, if a guy was a pure philosopher, let's say, we come to the same conclusion.
look, let's say in science, let's say a guy says, I'm gonna go into physics. I'm gonna try to evaluate theory of relativity. And you know what, Alec, I don't know. I think I know how to think. I think I know science. But I'm not sure. It might be equals MC cubed. Maybe it's equals MC squared, equals MC cubed. It seems to me pretty sure it's equals MC cubed. I don't know why all these guys, they seem smart guys, why are they saying equals MC squared? But you know what? It makes sense to rely on Einstein. Fall back, Einstein was very smart. He knew this stuff. There's a whole community of scientists. There's Chachamim. There's a Mesorah we have from Einstein. People see it themselves. Equals MC squared. You think there's two possibilities to you. You don't know proofs. Let's say you can't see a proof. I'm saying it makes more sense to rely on prophets and to rely on the Chachmei Yisrael throughout the generations who have maintained these beliefs than your weighing of the different possibilities. And that's not just, you know, the guy in areas of science, he doesn't have to be able to rely on prophecy. They don't have Nevuah to rely on.
Right.
But there's still such a thing as the Chachamim. So you have the Chachmei Yisrael in Torah, they're telling you the Zodiac Torah. You also have the Chachamim in science. So in that sense, you know, you shouldn't trust. If you can prove E equals MC cubed, I don't care how many people tell you E equals MC squared, E equals MC cubed. Okay? You can see it. You know for sure they're all wrong.
Right.
Okay. You might not know. You might have gone beyond your limits, but whatever.
You're saying it's only reasonable in the framework of, like, someone who the Isser Shai has to, because what they're really trying to do is not establish something from scratch, but it's really trying to overturn something that they have from childhood. I think that's the premise. That you have something you're trying to overturn, and therefore you have absolutism as opposed to just more compelling. And if I was just going to establish something out of thin air, it'd be the most compelling argument. I don't care if both of them are whole.
Yes. Right, correct. That's the Isser. That's exactly the Isser. Okay, good. That's exactly the Isser. To treat the Yesodia Das as I'm going to be the one. It's as if I was coming at this from nothing. I don't have a Mesorah. I don't exist as part of a community, a religious community. Every person is, if every idiot is going to decide on his own, I'm going to decide which side is more compelling, you're going to destroy the world. That's what means Machabes Olam. Okay, that's what means Machabes Olam. Because you are not free to decide that I am going to be the arbiter of every truth in the world. Okay, you can't do that. You can't do that because if every single, think about it, what happens if every person says that I'm going to be the one to determine all the foundations of the religion? Everybody's going to have a different opinion. Okay, and there's not going to have, you can have, religion's not going to last more than one generation. You know, your fathers are holding one thing, sons are holding another thing, your next neighbor's going to have another thing, there's going to be davening, everybody's going to be pointing a different way, what he intuits is east. Okay, so it's going to be a different, you're going to have a different, you can't have a society, no society, not just a religious society. You can't have a scientific community. Each person is going to determine, what do I think should be the scientific method? Do we really need experiments or really need observations? I don't know. You know, yeah, exactly. I think beautiful mathematics should be good enough. You know, you can't just have every idiot decide on their own, come to it and say, I'm going to be the one to determine. Okay? Because of the fact that in order to really be a barachi of determining these questions, you have to be know how to think, you got to know the area fundamentally, and you can't have any biases. If you come to that, you should doubt your mind. That's the thing. There is a point where you doubt your mind if it's this type of a method. If it's this type of method and you have a Mesorah from Sinai, which goes against it, from Avraham and Moshe, which goes against this, you should be choshed your seichel, and you should rely on the Mesorah. And that's exactly the Isser of Lo Sasur. The Isser of Lo Sasur is to say, I am free, I'm a free thinker, I am not going to be bound by the Torah in terms of what I believe, and everything is going to be because I think that it's true. Now, some things I'll be able to prove, and some things I'm not going to be able to prove, I'll just think, what makes more sense to me? Whether, right?
So then,
even if you think you have the Rambam's three things and you come to a conclusion which is against the Yesod Yadas, you should.
So, if your conclusion is negative,
if you treat yourself as a free.
Yeah, as I'm saying, that's exactly it. Right.
Treat yourself as a free.
Right, because you don't. Right. If you prove it, you prove it. Correct. If you're convinced, it doesn't have to be a mathematical proof, but if, you know what I mean, if it's clear that this is false, this is not true, that's fine. Yeah, but if you're just saying because you've weighed out the possibilities and this makes more sense to you, that's Lo Sasur. Yeah, right, exactly. Then you should. Right, there's two problems. One is your Machar of the Olam, and two is it's not really honest. It's not really honest because this part of knowing how to think is recognizing that this method of weighing out different possibilities because this side makes more sense to you, this side makes less sense to you. It's not a very secure method of thought.
Right.
It's all you have available to you in certain areas, but it's not a very secure method of thought. A far stronger method is the Mesorah from Sinai, from Moshe, from Avram, and the Chachmei Yisrael about the Yesodei Hadas, the foundations of the religion. That is a stronger source of knowledge. So it's both. It's not really an honest thing. It's not really, that's insane. It's not really honest because you're taking a less secure method of knowledge because it's really gaiva. It's really ultimately the root is the ego, is what caused a person because you want to be the one to determine. You don't want to have to accept anything that your mind is not nota towards. But that's it. You're not just like Judaism restricts your ability to do certain actions and to say certain things. It restricts your ability to think certain things. Okay. It doesn't mean there's no mitzvah to investigate these things and try to prove that they're true, to see why I think in all these. What?
You're saying what it's restricting you from doesn't make sense anyway.
What do you mean?
To pick your shikol
hadas. Yeah, right. Correct. Yeah, right. It doesn't make intellectual sense. Correct. Yeah, the Torah is not stopping you from doing something that's good and makes sense for you. The Torah is stopping you from doing something that's harmful for you and doesn't make sense for you. It doesn't really make sense. It's not really a good thing to do. It's not like this. You're right, exactly. It's not rational to do, but the Torah is saying don't do it anyway. It's not a rational thing to do. The prophecy
could benefit from the three-pronged approach here.
Yeah, and he should.
What do you mean, the guy who could benefit from that?
Right, meaning there is a person like that.
Anyone.
No, look, you should use this. Look, you should use this method. You should... Yeah. Learn how to think. Learn Gemara. Learn how to think. You should absolutely study science. Understand the foundations of these areas, and you should rise above your emotions. And then you should investigate these areas and see why the Yesodei Torah are true. And if you can't prove it, at least see why the arguments go for that. I think in all the Yesodei Hadas, not everything can be proven absolutely, but certainly I think the arguments are all in favor of the Yesodei Hadas. I don't want to give the impression that the arguments are not, but I have seen people who have used their own minds to investigate it, and they're not sure, and they think they lean one way, they lean another way. Okay, so that's what I'm saying is I don't think that's the case. But if you end up in that area, you have to be going in with the framework. You didn't go in with the framework that you were going to determine it. You went in the framework with I'm trying to raise myself to a higher level by seeing firsthand why this is true. But you know that this element of shikol is not really strong enough to overturn. It's not an emotional bias. It's not an emotional bias. You don't let that affect the shikl. That's not the shikl. That's a different method. It's a different source of knowledge. Look, and you shouldn't tell yourself that now you're in the framework of evaluating it firsthand. You know that the world is created. You don't in the framework of firsthand knowledge of what you've investigated yourself. You don't know. It seems to you the world is eternal. That's what your investigations led you to. But it's entirely possible. Have a little humility that either you're not thinking properly, you haven't really don't really understand the area fundamentally, or you might have some sort of bias. And that's what you should really say to yourself. But don't you can't lie to yourself and tell yourself that.
Right.
You realize when you're falling back, you're somech on the Mesorah. You're not. You're recognizing that your attempt at investigating the Yesodei Hadas has not worked out as well as you had hoped, and you weren't able to ascertain them. You didn't get into the chatzar. You're still looking for the door. Yeah.
So just to be clear then, exactly the case I said before about a person that genuinely investigates, comes to the conclusion that one or all of the given karma are wrong, but doesn't hold that as a position because he says, look, I'm so mech on the Mesorah. That's exactly not the Isser Lissasur because he is saying, I am not free to come to these conclusions. I'm hesitant to rely upon my own conclusions.
Right, right, right. That's the Isser Lo Sasuru. I'm saying the Isser Lo Sasuru is, it's twofold. One is if the person, the Isser Lo Sasuru is twofold. One is if you go into an area you're not ready for, that you're not ready for, because then you're going to come out, that's not an honest investigator. The person who's honestly investigating is not going to go in areas he's not ready for. You're going to become confused. You're going to think things that are not true. And the way to come to the truth is not to investigate an area you're not ready for. The way to investigate the truth is to be patient, and there's steps in knowledge, and to go slowly. Okay? That's the first isser, if you don't take the proper prerequisite steps. The second version of the isser would be if you're going into the Yesodei Hadas, anything that's an ikar in the Torah, and you're going into it by saying that I'm going to accept it if it makes sense to me, and that's what seems to be more mustava.
Right.
That would be the second answer. Okay. Again, when you're investigating, you're an honest investigator. If you see it's false. Right. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Question. So, when you say you're going to fall back on the Masora, what is the strength of saying that? Is that because the Masora itself is proven?
Or okay. The circularity issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Okay. Fine. Let me take that up. So there's still I haven't answered the circularity problem. Okay. I don't want to. Don't think I've answered that. Okay. So let me. So one answer I've kind of given is the answer in the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. So that's the answer of Mibnei Shadait Ola Shaladim Kitzara V'lo Kol Dias Yechos Lasi Gemisar Boryov Yimim Shachaladim Achem Hashavas Libo Nimtz Machavis Olam Fikot Zedaito. So that's the idea. You have to be able to appreciate that you're a human being. Every human being knows what he knows. Because he was born into a society, he was born with teachers and with parents. If you were born in a forest, raised by wolves, you would know nothing. Okay, so your knowledge has to come from the way of life, what you know to be true. It comes from the people around you, and you realize you can appreciate that. That if you didn't have stable systems of thinking, of whether it be a religion or even an atheist, he teaches kids you have to have a derech hachayim, what's good in life, if you didn't have that. Then the world would be destroyed. Every kid can't determine what he thinks is the best way of life. It's not a viable system of thought. And every religion would be destroyed. And you could realize the benefit of having religion and a system of thought. And you see that premise of the existence of any religion, okay, Judaism included, is premised on the fact that every person is not free to be the one who determines whether your Zodiac Dust are true or not. Okay? Right? If of course, if you know they're false, you know they're false, but it cannot be your weighing and your shekels what determines it, because then everybody's going to come. Not every person is capable of really doing it, a good evaluation. And not every person is capable of evaluating whether they're good at doing a good evaluation. That's, that's part of the problem here, is who's to evaluate whether it's good or not.
So what are you saying about Christians or something?
The Christians... The Christians should do that when they get old enough and they learn how to think and they study science, okay, and they follow this Los Asura because, of course, they hold by it, okay? They should investigate Christianity and they should come to the conclusion that it's false. Because it is false and they can see proof why it's false. God does not have a body. He's not a man. Then they'll say, the priest is going to say to them, credo ad absurdum, you believe even though it's nonsense and it's absurd. And then he's going to say, look, I have my mind. I'm not going to accept that. Okay, I'm not denying my mind. When Torah does not tell you to deny your mind, the whole purpose of the Torah is to teach you how to become a chacham, how to learn how to use your mind, how to investigate the truth, how to understand, study science, study the world, come to a true picture of reality. That's the whole purpose of the Torah. That's what the Torah is designed to do. It's a system devoted towards teaching you chachma. But you got to know that chachma does not mean that your weighing of different possibilities entitles you to be ochre yisod in the dust. That's not chachma. That's machar v'solam. It's not honest and it... Okay. That what?
A religion.
Yes, okay, good. So that's, okay, so still, right? Yes, so that argument theory would apply to, let's say you had a religion that wasn't, you couldn't prove it's false. I'm taking Christianity, it's a little bit easy, right? They themselves hold it's logically. Easy target, yes, definitely. I chose
them
with reason, okay. So let's say you had another religion which you couldn't when you investigate it, you can't prove it's false. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you may your mind leads to it, it leads you in the way that say it seems like it's kind of made up. You're not really sure. Maybe it's intuitive. It seems to you more compelling that it's not really true. What should you do? Okay, so look at this. So there's I asked Rebbe this question 2 weeks ago, and so he gave what? With this example, this Rambam.
No, I'm saying, was there a particular religion example that you said, oh, this one could be...
No, I just asked him the circularity question. Why is it circular? With all circularity. Okay. So, he said like this, and I'll say his point, and then I'll just develop it a little bit. But he said that ultimately what you can really show a person, right, you show the person the Chachmas HaTorah. Okay? So the person can see that this is not a stupid system. It's not a stupid religion. And you're not asking him to believe a set of stupid premises and axioms of Ikari Das, but it's a system. The whole system is really based upon Chachma, and if you've learned Torah and you've not, this is not your first time, you're not a kid in high school who hasn't learned any Torah, but if you've learned Torah and you see that it's Chachma, so that's one thing, to see that there's tremendous Chachma, you don't really find the Chachma Satorah anywhere else, and that is a significant reason for accepting the Masorah, because you see the Bali Masorah, Chachma Yisrael, the tremendous Chachamim, they're people who are honest people, and the Chachamim, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the system of Gemara, and the whole system, it's a system based upon Chachma. That's one thing. Okay, that internal to the Torah, you can see that it's worth, it's legitimate to rely on, at least to some degree. I like to add two things to that. One is the Rambam, I'm not going to do this inside, but in this part two, chapter 39, he mentions also that you have Moshe Benu Tzad V'Eschana, he says, Migoy Gadol, so you have Chukim Mishpatim Tzadikim. Okay, that you have things that are that Tzadikim, okay, which means like, Rambam says it means well-balanced. Okay, it means well-balanced. That you see, when you investigate the Torah, you see the mitzvos are create this perfect system that if you were to take away mitzvos, all right, Los Esiru, when you first come to it, you see what kind of thing it's just dogma, it's just restricting your mind. When you learn through the area, you realize it's really, it's a mitzvah that's for your benefit. The Torah is not being designed, the mitzvos, even though a lot of them seem like, to a kid, telling them that he can't have milk after meat, right. You're being mean to him, you're really ruining his life. Okay, but when a person matures, they realize that these things, that being able to control your taivas is for your benefit, right? Because when a person is able to control his taivas, he's able to engage in proper thought and in terms of metaphysics, right? If you can't control it, the Torah is really trying to, you see that the mitzvahs are not there to ruin your life. They're not Judaism is not a religion to dominate you and to take over control of its adherents and manipulate their lives, but you see that the system of Torah is a tovlach, it's a beneficial thing system, for designed for your good. If you were to take away mitzvos, it would ruin the Torah. If you were going to add mitzvos, it would harm the Torah. Mm-hmm. And the system of the Torah is a perfect system. It's not just this randomly patched together system by man. When man puts together a system, it has flaws. You can take away things. You can add things to it. But the Torah system, Torah Seshem Tamima. So by studying the Torah and the Tame and mitzvos, you see the Chinuch and the Tame and the Rambam, and you just, you know, learning how to, learning Gemara, again, learning through the mitzvos, understanding, that's filling your belly with lechem and basar. You see how the system of Torah is a good system, and it's a system that's tzedek, that has, it's well balanced. It's a system of chachma, and it's, you're not just being asked to rely upon a crazy arbitrary system which dominates you and ruins your life. And it, you see from experience that the Torah is something that's, it's throughout your life, it's been trustworthy source that has guided you in a way that's beneficial for you.
But also with Sinai, that's like. Like everyone thinks, it's not so circular if you.
Yeah, so Sinai, you're right. The argument of Sinai, the argument of Tarmi Sinai, of course, the argument of Tarmi Sinai, of a mass revelation, no other religion has that. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. That's another argument. Okay. And also, if you want to look in the Rambam in part two, chapter 40, he gives you, it's a fascinating Rambam, he gives you his argument that you could see, again, internal to the Torah is divine. And he says he's going to give you a yardstick where you can measure and you can see the difference between a man-made system and a Torah-made system. Okay, he says a man-made system is, and you'll be able to tell, even if they claim it's from prophecy, you'll be able to see it's false. It's going to be exclusively devoted towards trying to make justice and people don't oppress each other and things like that. But it's not going to be devoted to teaching people true ideas about God, directing their midos, elevating to the highest intellectual perfection, right. Ethical perfection. But the Torah is something that's designed to teach you true ideas about God and about Hashkachas Hashem, and it's designed, he says, to make you into see, the Torah is designed to teach you proper ideas, and v'ritzona l'hachkim asadim, it wants to make a person wise, ula vino, to make him understanding, ula ira ad sheyedes kol metzias kefiat tziramitas. The objective of the Torah is not to hide the truth from you, is to bring you to the point, encouraging you to reach the highest level where you are able to verify with your own mind reality as it is. Okay, then you know, teidesh oso ha'tachsis mi'ito yisala v'shosa Torah li'elohis. That's how you know that the Torah is, that this, that system is divine. Okay, you look into that further. But again, there are methods of evaluating the Torah. If you know the Torah, it's not going to work for somebody who doesn't know the Torah. Seeing it's chachma, seeing that it's good for you, seeing that it's perfect and you can't add it or subtract, seeing that it has the characteristics of what a divine system should be, and it doesn't have those man-made characteristics. Those are all reasons that you should to rely on the Torah. Okay.
Those three things, I'd say, are important.
Yes.
So now,
yes, it's just correct.
So now I have a 70-30 about what would be, so they thus, like, why am I going to go with a shekel that says the sower and the fourth shekel against the mouth?
Because, no, because I'm saying, because you see, no, because you see, right, because you see that this, you're right, that is, that requires a shekel also, that kind of thinking it does. It's not an absolute proof. But you see that that this kind of, these kind of ideas, a foundation, for you to just, it's not logical, rational for you to be the only one to make this decision to overturn the Yesod of the dust. If you're going to be the one to determine it, then everybody else is going to. Okay? So then you see that it's a different argument. Yes, it is a different argument. Right. I'm just saying that argument has...
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying is that argument of you realize that you'll be machmir of the olam. I'm saying that has more weight when you realize that you're not being asked to rely on a religion that's ruining your life. That clearly is on its face is not divine. That's a bunch of baloney made up by people. You're not being asked to rely on a religion like that. Okay, you recognize the value of a religion, but I'm answering the other question, that if a person is stuck in a religion that he can't prove is false, but he just sees it's ruining his life, it's dominating his existence, it's just made to control him so the people on the top get rich, but these mitzvahs are not put to his benefit, okay, then that's a different argument. It's like, okay, I could see saying, I don't trust that Masora. I just don't trust it. You know, this system, I have a sense that this system is not designed for my benefit. But a person who's within the system of Torah and who's learned about the mitzvos, he has a sense that God or the Torah is not ruining his life. It's there for his benefit, to perfect him. And throughout his life, he's realized when he was younger, he resented this mitzvah. But as he grew older, he matured, and he realized these things benefited him. And you know, and initially, you don't like being told that you're not a free thinker. You can't think whatever you want to think. When you get older and you mature, you realize the value of Lo Sasur and how it really can save a person from destroying his life, destroying his marriage and his families. It happens to people that they destroy themselves and they destroy their marriage and their ability to be part of a community because they end up in Minas and they destroy themselves. Okay, so it's not, you realize that why Lo Sasur is not it's a good mitzvah, and it's not done to keep you locked into a religion. It's not done to stop you from thinking. It's done to tell you to think, go at a slow pace, take the proper steps, and don't just be a freelance philosopher who's overturning the Yesod HaDas based upon your evaluation, because there are a lot of things that can go wrong.
How does that relate to the story being more reliable?
What do you mean?
Like, if the Masorah is being justified by those three types of arguments, then it's not really any more reliable than your 70-30 argument in favor of something negative in the Masorah.
They're not as complicated and prone to mistake, right? You know, the historical claim of, like, my father told me that he got this from his father. You're not saying that
Yeah, you're right. Right, correct. I agree with you. If it's just going to be one shekel, ultimately that the Yesod HaDas are a shekel, then right, correct. But it's realizing that this is a shekel in a necessary thing that people need. You need a religion. You need the ability to have a system of thought, and you're not going to overturn the Torah based upon, you know. Correct. If the person is ultimately questioning prophecy or questioning Torah Shemayim or things like that, then you're right. Ultimately, unless you can ground that on absolute proof, then it's not going to be really one better than the other. But you realize that every person can't just, you have to have a system of thought. You have to have a religion, right? I'm just trying to answer why you can get out of a religion that you see is like that.
And the reason why someone would be so many on the Masorah in general, just because they see whatever general appreciation of talking about the Masorah, so that's why one would be so many. Not because of the sword itself,
but that's
because then there's no problem beginning.
But that's the danger of what the Rambam did. The danger of what the Rambam did was that, correct me if I'm wrong, by creating a Sode a Torah, then he opened it up that if you crack one of these Sode a Torah, if you have doubts in these Sode a Torah, he's saying he's creating closest for himself. But if you don't learn his whole system, you just take
it. Okay, so let's say you're a region, you don't agree with every part of the Yesod HaTorah, maybe you have an argument, but that's still, the point is there's still the Masorah that you're going by.
Right, but that's important. Right, but he...
Okay. Let me just end on the last point, is that koshla chasak vod kono. I'll just read the last part there. So Ram says, is his boni mebita and nifla zeh. So pay attention to this unbelievable expression, ha'amor be'ezer eliki, which is said through divine inspiration. Amro koshla chasak vod kono. Ha'kavana be'zeh mishla chasal sechlo, somebody who doesn't have any compassion on his mind. Ki ha'sechlo kvod Hashem. You don't appreciate the value of this thing that you've been given, and your mind goes mala 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 mala. You start going to areas that are beyond you. So you lose your mind, and you become you lose the ability to control your taivas, and you end up living essentially like an animal. Because a person can, in these areas, you can. Idea of a min ultimately is he becomes a skeptic, he doesn't know how to think properly, he ultimately can lose your mind. So the Torah, again, the Torah is not telling you something to try to ruin your life. The Torah is telling you this because this has the Torah has to warn you against something that will ruin your life. Okay, and that koshla chasak fokono, if you go in lo sasiru, what you're risking is not just machavas olam, because maybe a person is willing to risk the world in order that he should be able to determine what's true and what's not. But you're risking your own mind, you're risking your own life. And if you're not cautious of following the proper steps in methodological thinking, knowing when you're ready to evaluate something, and knowing what's a more secure version of knowledge, you run the risk of destroying yourself. Okay, and that's koshla chasak vod kono. Have an appreciation for your intellect. Don't ruin your mind by going to areas that you can really destroy yourself. Okay? Okay.